I'm Tommy Gimler. Survived 3 days of Stagecoach out in the desert.
Yes.
At the Empire Polo Grounds in Indio, California, where I actually, to my wife, I allotted 6.5 nose picks. The over-under was 6.5. But it was like, at 6, I won't say anything. At number 7, I'm going to tell you to knock it off. Now it's unnecessary. But it's the desert. You got to pick your nose. But unlike other people in the sports world.
Right.
When I'm done picking my nose, I'm not wiping it on handicapped girls.
In all fairness, Barstool needs a story. You know, like you got to know who to feed what.
That is a story. And where were you? You were not far from Stagecoach, actually.
I guess spiritually, Tommy. This is Adam Ferberg. I spent the previous weekend in Nashville, Tennessee. Not the biggest country music aficionado. But then I came home and bought myself my own mandolin. So take that for what you will, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's probably going to be the last thing you're going to be able to buy, because since you took your girlfriend to Nashville, that means she's pregnant.
Davey up a decker, nothing but sports and crap.
All right, big guy, just you and I again. Brady Matthews is in demand.
He's a big, busy guy.
He's doing a show down in Irvine.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if it's at the Improv or if it's for like Mazda or Toyota or something like that.
Yeah. It's for Comedy Juice. I saw the flyer for it today.
Well, you know, that's just the sign of talent
right
on this podcast right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been busy the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Doing our shows and doing whatever. So this is our first show in 2 weeks.
Yes,
so
it is.
So it's good. We used to be doing this every single week because none of us were good at anything. And since for us, this is blowing up. When you can't make it because you're going down to the Irvine Improv like Brady Matthews,
right?
You know, that's the equivalent of making it.
Yeah, you're busy guy. Busy guy. Busy times.
Plus, I don't think he really wants to talk about the NFL draft.
I immediately texted him when I heard about Mitchell Trubisky going to the Chicago Bears.
I love how you called him Mitchell.
Is it Mitchell?
We're going to start calling him Mitchell instead of just Mitch.
It's Mitchell. It's Mitchell Lawrence Trubisky, I think. I don't know if Lawrence is his middle name, but he seems like a Lawrence.
A Lawrence, sure.
Yeah. So I have like 5 or 6 friends in comedy who are all from Chicago, and I texted like, who the hell is Mitchell Trubisky? And one of them wrote back, he's like, I'm pretty sure I went to his bar mitzvah. Who is this CPA shit who's going to work on this?
One of them wrote back, the other 5 guys had already killed themselves.
Of left field. Because I thought that the rumor was, you know, as a Miami attendee, alumni, I thought that it was going to be Kaya, that they were going to overrate Kaya. And I'm actually kind of happy where he went. Very smart. He's now – Kaya is now going to be basically Stafford's backup in Detroit, which is brilliant because Stafford, you know
– He doesn't get hurt. He plays every game.
He doesn't get hurt. He plays every game. And Kaya can be his legit backup for like 3 or 4 years. And then if or when Stafford starts to diminish, Kaya will be ready to go.
Plus, for whatever – you know. Whatever he was making at the University of Miami, whatever the boosters are paying, he could probably buy 3 houses up in Detroit. It's a smart move all around.
Well, listen, if you don't want your boosters to get caught, make sure that one of them doesn't run a pyramid scheme. As long as that's not the case, Donna Shalala, everything's going to be okay.
So how was the NFL draft for the Hurricanes?
It wasn't so good the first few days, but then I think they drafted like 6 or 7 guys in the last day. So they ended up having the second most drafted players out of all of colleges. I think number one, I forget who number one was, but number two or number three was Miami. Most of them went in the last day. But one thing that I'm learning about watching the NFL draft now is that everyone in the first round, it's like the opposite of the NBA draft. The first 5 or 6 picks in the NBA draft are the real stars of the show, and then the rest are like, you know, God knows.
Right.
But it seems like everyone is so bad at picking their players, and all those number one draft picks are such busts now that really the best players come out of the 3rd or the 4th or the 5th rounds because no one really expects much out of them, and that's when everyone's really crunching the numbers hard. And it's almost like those numbers are completely deceiving at the very top now, which I don't know if that just means like – out of the 100 of people that ESPN fired, it couldn't have been Mel Kiper or Todd McShay.
Well, that's what we talked about.
No.
We talked about that this week on the Dud before I went out to Stagecoach.
Really? Yeah.
Out of all the people that they fired.
The 2 guys who get it wrong every fucking year.
So let's talk about that. So, well, McShay, I think McShay like ran Stats Inc. or something like that. He did something before that to where they're like, why don't we just bring this guy up? We're using him anyway. So
if that's the case, why does he – basically have the same draft board as Mel fucking Kiper every year. They don't disagree on anything.
No, they do. They disagree all the time. But it's like little things. Like I have him going like four or five picks later.
I want a guy. I want a debate. You know what I mean? Right. But like an actual debate, not fucking first take where it's these phony debates about one story that they make for half an hour. But like an actual like, no, I think this player is better here because the NFL draft. How many picks are there in the NFL draft? 1,000.
Well, there's 32 picks in the first round.
Right.
And then there's seven rounds. Simple math would tell you that
like
is
210.
224.
Yeah, 224 picks. All right, that's a lot. That's going around. That's a legitimate.
Is that right? Did I just do math that quickly?
You did. Yeah,
holy
very
shit,
good.
I'm back from Stagecoach.
Oh, my God, back. Tommy. I said 1,000 because I apparently work for the Office of Budget Management here in the United States.
You're always going over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in the case of – all right, so 32 first-round picks. Right. Guess how many correct first-round picks Mel Kiper had?
Five.
Now, I get that the Bears traded up one spot or whatever.
Sure.
All right?
Four. Five. Really?
Four correct picks where he said, this guy's going to this team. And again, like, you know, one dude wrote – this is Frank Ramos's article.
Mm-hmm.
So one dude wrote in like, I wonder if the author ever takes into consideration, you know, the amount of trades that happen in the first round.
Sure.
And it's one of the first things that Rhombus talked about. Right. So it's like, I always want to write back, but I don't, because one thing you don't do is like comment back on a commenter. Yeah.
Shoot down one of your readers.
Right. But at the same time, it's like, did you even read the fucking article?
Right.
It's like one time I wrote a song called I'm Not an Asshole. And it's about like, you know, the punchline is I'm not an asshole, I'm blind.
Right.
It's like, you know, if you don't know that someone's blind, they come off as a huge asshole.
Right.
So it's like, you know, look at this guy wearing his sunglasses at 8 o'clock at night, you know, dick. But it's like, so I'm not an asshole, I'm blind. So I put the song up and someone had commented, this might have been like MySpace days.
Right.
And someone left like something like hysterical song. I'm assuming it's in response to Dennis Leary's song, I'm an Asshole. And it's like, how did you find that funny?
Also,
you didn't even listen to the song. It's not in response to that. And it's only 2 minutes long. Listen to it. It's 2 minutes.
And that's what, it's funny you mentioned that Louis C.K. accused Leary of stealing that song, that joke. In the song.
Well, now Louis C.K. is getting accused of stealing other people's shit, so it's all come full circle.
Yeah, everyone steals. That's
and then there's some people about who are accusing her of milking cancer.
So, right. Oh, God.
It all comes full circle, everybody. But as far as Mel Kiper, 32 first-round picks, only four correct. The trades are one thing. Let's talk about like the trades. So, yeah, if a team jumps up six spots and takes like Pat Mahomes
right
at number 10, maybe they were targeting that guy somewhere else, but because there's a run on quarterbacks, it's like any fantasy draft when a bunch of us nerds are sitting around.
Right.
If all of a sudden like two or three closers go in a fantasy baseball draft, there's a run on closers in the next two rounds because everybody wants to get
someone
that
good.
Closer.
Yeah.
So maybe they had their eye on Mahomes, thought they could get him in like, you know, the 20s, wherever they were.
Right.
And they were like, we can't get him, so we got to trade up and take Mahomes. I understand that. But
how
when the Titans are at number five, a couple.
Okay, so there were. Okay, so it's you can give away three or four,
right,
out of those picks just for those trades.
Right, but the point is like the Titans at number five.
Right,
he had them taking I think a cornerback,
mm-hmm.
and they take Corey Davis, wide receiver out of Western Michigan.
Right.
So he's not even like there was no trade.
Right,
there was no trade, and it wasn't like anyone else was taken ahead of time. Like their guy was taken.
On the other side of the fucking ball.
Correct. So he's not even close. And what I think is beginning to happen, and they've been doing it for a couple years now,
uh-huh.
is that his sources, whoever they are,
mm-hmm.
so the GMs are starting to leak false information, I think. And they're starting to leak it so teams react and go a certain way. And Mel Kiper's like the goat. Or he's like, you know, he's the messenger that's getting shot over and over and over again. Because he was way off on a lot of these picks. I mean, he wasn't even close. Guys that he had going at like number five or six were going at 22, 23. And it's getting worse and worse every year. And that was that was Ramos's point in the article was like, out of all the guys that you lay off, this guy's worse than a meteorologist in LA. Did any of the meteorologists have this coming in today?
Nope.
Misting in May. All of a sudden it drops 15 degrees and it's misting outside.
Yeah.
No meteorologist had that.
Nope.
So it's like, he's worse than those guys.
Right.
And he still has his job. That was like the low part of the NFL draft. One of the high points. Let's see. Let's talk about them Cowboys, huh? That was unbelievable.
As an undrafted free agent, to be selected to make the Cowboys second round draft pick, and on behalf of the 5-time world champion, Dallas Cowboys, Hall of Fame owner, Jerry Jones, T. Jones and the Jones family, Coach Jason Garrett, all the Cowboy players that played before me, that played with me, and played after me, with the second pick and the 60th pick in the second round, the Dallas Cowboys select defensive back from Colorado, Chidobe Awuzie.
That is awesome.
Oh, yeah, and I love it. And then they show, like, the reaction of all the gang back in Dallas, you know. Yeah. They're all just, you know, shit-eating grins on their faces.
Loving it.
Jerry Jones hasn't had a smile that large since he's been in since he was in the women's bathroom with three different hookers, which was probably Saturday night at the local Applebee's.
Right, yeah. Remember those pictures?
Oh, yeah, they're great. They're unbelievable. Nothing ever went awesome. Down from that either because he's Jerry.
Right.
Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones.
If you're Jerry Jones and you're not doing that, then something's wrong.
Yeah, you're wasting your money.
Yeah, correct. So I thought that was absolutely unbelievable. And here's the thing with that. I hope that it leads to everybody doing that.
Right.
Because it is going to turn into must-see TV.
Correct.
If everybody gets up there
and just
and
trolls.
Does that.
Just trolls people.
And, you know, the greatest thing about Drew Pearson doing that is he was able to, like, get all hyper and all nuts like that
yeah.
and still correctly pronounce that dude's
right.
name.
Yeah, his name is not easy to spell.
Chidobe Awuzie?
Yeah.
And that's just me looking at it. It might not even be correct. But he's doing all that. He's going nuts. And he's still.
And he's naming players before, current, after. God, Drew Pearson, I think, is probably my all-time favorite Cowboy now. Like, I don't even – he played, I think, with Staubach back in the day. You know, the only player ever to have a gold medal in the Olympics and a Super Bowl ring.
Really?
Yeah.
What event in the Olympics?
I think a track and field event. I don't
sure.
know exactly which one it was.
He wasn't one of these guys.
No,
was he?
No, I don't think so.
The fist and ear?
I don't think so.
Yeah, they were all thrown in jail. Yeah. Chidobe Awuzie, who is one guy who's never been in Wisconsin, Alex, for 300. Probably not. I thought that was the best part of the NFL draft. Now, you have a theory about this.
Yeah.
So we were talking off mic that he actually got that okayed by Roger Goodell.
Right.
And not the whole thing, but even just like one line to
right.
say, I want to thank the Philadelphia fans
right.
for allowing me to have a career in the NFL.
He basically paraphrased it as, Roger, I have this thing I want to say where I troll the fans because they're booing everything anyway.
Right.
Let's have some fun. Let's make it fun. And Goodell, you'd normally think is like, you know, no fun league. But I think Goodell is starting to wise up a little bit. He's like, no, say it. Say it. Just make him boo. Just get the reaction. Get that rise out of it.
Well, plus it's like everybody's going to cover it.
Right. It'll be the story of the night. And he nailed it. And that's why, like, I compare it to professional wrestling and the Mr. McMahon character. They, like, always, for the, you know, I guess in wrestling, one of the good guys was the commissioner, the guy that booked all the matches. He was a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then that character, they introduce the bad guy is the guy that runs the company, and it becomes like this punching bag. Everyone hates the boss, and you become like a blue-collar hero, whoever goes up against him. And so now, if the story is out that Roger Goodell is goading someone into trolling fans, then Goodell is no longer like this faceless robot of a bad guy who's just enforcing rules. He really is out to try to piss you off. And so now, if you really go after Goodell as the bad guy, everyone who ever goes up against him is the good guy. If anyone's in trouble, then suddenly that guy's jersey sales are going up and more tickets are being sold. I think it's a good thing that Goodell gets booed, because if he milks it properly and he really plays this character, then everyone else is the good guy around him.
Well, all right, so let's look at, like, Vince McMahon. So I never really followed wrestling. I used to go to my good buddy Tommy's house to
right.
watch Monday Night Raw.
Hell yeah.
But I really wasn't into it. It was just that his stepdad had just this badass pinball machine in the basement. And I we couldn't play it past like 9 o'clock or something. So it was like I got over there early.
You gotta do it.
Whatever, brought a couple of road sodas and I just sat down there and played that pinball game as much as I could and then put up with the rest of whatever was on there.
Right.
So was Vince McMahon like hated at one point, now he's loved, or is it?
Well, he's not really on the show anymore because he's kind of old, but there was this character.
He and his wife are running Trump's.
They're running the
some part of the White House.
The Office of Small Business. Yeah, I think she's his small business secretary.
Sure.
Which I didn't even know that was a thing, but I guess it is.
Wouldn't you want like someone from like maybe Lucha Underground running the small business? It would be like someone coming in from Boeing and saying, like, yeah, I want to run like the small planes division.
It's hard to believe that a billionaire knows anything about running a small business.
I had it rough, man. My dad gave me a loan of $1 million.
It was not easy turning that million into a billion. I guess all I really needed to do was get in bed with mobsters.
Well, all right, so that's one good thing that Roger Goodell did. We can agree that Roger Goodell did that one good thing.
But it builds that narrative where no matter who gets in trouble with him, I mean, I guess that's how every fan's always kind of treated it. Mm-hmm. But now if that really is what they're doing, then that'll only elevate anyone who gets in trouble for anything. And suddenly that'll be the most popular player on the team.
Well, the NFL will be more about storylines and its product on the field? Gee.
I wonder where that came from.
Yeah, I wonder who's been talking about that for the last 3 years. Daily Upper Decker at dailyupperdecker.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. All right, so that was one good thing Roger Goodell did at the NFL draft.
Yeah.
One not so good thing, just a tad worse, is they had all these people come up on stage, like Drew Pearson was for the Cowboys.
Right.
He had this, I don't know, she's like maybe a 13-year-old girl or some shit.
Yeah, she's like a fan of the team, right?
Yeah, I don't even know what team it was.
Was it like a Make-A-Wish thing?
It was
like
draft 2, pick number 45. Well, all right, so she's got one leg that works. The other one is just a rod, like a Lieutenant Dan leg, right?
Right.
So she's up there. So obviously, like, life has pretty much sucked for this girl since her birth.
Right.
Right? Life's been a bitch.
Oh, she was born without a leg.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know anything about this girl other than I feel extremely sorry for her.
Right.
Because she did not, like, if she was born without it, even if she wasn't, even if she had two legs, now she doesn't. And she's still a young girl and she's got to go through high school like that and whatever.
Right.
And you can argue that, like, at this point, like, this is her 15 minutes right here. She's getting up on stage. This can be the greatest day of her life. And then, wouldn't you know it, 10 seconds later, Roger Goodell is rubbing his nose and he's got snot on it. And he takes that booger and wipes it off on her best dress that she probably had in her closet. Wipes it alongside of it. If you haven't seen it, make sure you check us out at Daily Upper Decker. It is on there. Now, this is something that I saw while we were at Stagecoach. And again, we're out in the desert. And
did I send that to you?
It is. You did.
Yeah, thanks
for that. It was great.
I had to.
And that's just one of those moments. Like I had said that we were going to take a 2-day hiatus. I just wanted to go out there and watch all these girls in their short jean skirts and their boots. And I just wanted to see them like before they got pregnant.
You just
want to see them in their finest. And it really was just such a great time. And you're out there and you're playing can jam, a frisbee game, and you're playing cornhole, and you're drinking beers and watching like country music, a bunch of cousin fucking music.
Right.
Just a great time, and you're watching for 3 days. And I'm like, I don't want to do any articles or not have any of the guys sending any articles, so we're just going to shut it down Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
And then you send me that on Saturday, and then Pearson does that, and it's like, what a mistake. But you have to think at that point, like, you run a multi-billion dollar league, and you can't wait to rub your nose in 15 seconds.
Well,
like,
also,
at this point,
like,
haven't you taken so many classes to know like how to act in front of the camera?
Well, it's also like this is a two-step process. All right, he already fucked up by putting his finger in his nose.
Right.
All right, like even I'm not saying that you can't pick your nose. I'm saying you can't pick your nose on national fucking television when you know that someone like Barstool is looking for a mistake.
Right.
Because that's their moneymaker, is making Deadspin and Barstool live for fuck ups. They are a gossip rag and they live for people to fuck things up.
Right. And you know, the crazy thing is I think he just meant to wipe, but he caught the nostril and something was right there.
Yeah. And then he had to stick with it. He's like, he got to get the job done. You know, Roger Goodell's the kind of guy that when he puts his mind to something, it gets completed. They had to expand the league's money, so they had Thursday Night Football. Never mind the fact that it diluted the product. He made more money for the league. Mm-hmm. And just like that's what the snot was. That's what the booger was. The booger was putting Thursday Night Football on television. Sure, it made the product worse, but it made them more money. It got the job done.
And then he took Thursday Night Football and rubbed it all over this chick's fake leg.
And that was like the second half of Thursday Night Football when it's only on the NFL Network and no one can fucking watch it. That was the part where he rubbed the booger on her back.
Yeah. I mean, I just honestly, it never gets old. It gets more and more shocking every time I watch the video.
Right.
He literally has something on his hand and takes it, wipes it off on a crippled chick's back.
It's gross.
That is unbelievable. Who does that? There was a homeless guy that I crossed city after. I walked 5 miles today to burn off some of the beers I drank at Coachella, and I'm walking back, and you could smell that guy 2 blocks away coming. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't take a shit, wipe it on his hand, and wipe it on my back as I walked past him.
Nope.
No, because he has class.
Yeah.
Right. He had really nice sunglasses, actually, for a homeless dude. They were better than mine. Mine were like promo glasses that I got at a polo match. But these.
Well, he's a classy guy.
Like, he's great. Like, yeah, he stunk of high heaven, but he didn't, like, rub his jacket on me. He didn't, you know, pick his nose and flick it at me or anything like that. This is the commissioner
of the
National Football League, and he's wiping boogers on the backs of girls with one leg.
In all fairness, the homeless person, he may have been waiting for someone with some kind of disability to rub it on. may have just like, I'm sorry, this guy is completely bipedal. I can't do that.
This guy has his shit together. Yeah, he might do something.
No.
This guy looks like someone who might call the police.
Right.
he might have a rape whistle. This guy might have a rape whistle. He might use it.
I got to wait for someone like recovering from cancer or something.
Y'all need someone in a wheelchair or one leg that I can run. I can definitely outrun. This guy can catch me and maybe beat the shit
out of
me. Any last words on Roger Goodell picking his nose and then wiping it on the back of a one-legged girl on day two of the NFL draft?
Listen, if Roger is trying to build himself up as the most hated guy for a reason, that's it. That solidified it. That was the nail in the coffin.
So anyway, that was after the pick of tight end Adam Shaheen or Shaheen.
I did appreciate, though, that Twitter exploded with pick jokes, because this is the draft and you got draft picks. And so nose pick. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch Twitter on Saturday
now,
night.
Now, isn't like if you do that nowadays in 2017, isn't that considered like assault with a bodily fluid?
You know, that's interesting. Now the question is, do you have as much money as Roger Goodell? Because I don't know if you've ever filed a lawsuit before, but a lot of it is pay to play.
Yeah, they could probably set a lot of court. Yeah, because honestly, like, not to be a dick, but her fake leg looks like shit. Like, it looks like, you know, this is something that maybe like her dad got at the VA or something like that. Like, I think that she could probably...
She can get like an Oscar Pistorius leg?
Yes. Yeah. Well, a blade. Yeah, possibly a blade, but but one that looks a little more real than this. This honestly looks like some of the shit they were putting together. Like when Short Circuit, when Johnny Five was putting his arm together and shit like that. Some of that like stuff. That's what it looks like. And that was back
reference.
In the 80s. Yeah.
Good reference.
Do you know why I remember Short Circuit?
I love that movie.
The movie? Because when I was in high school and I figured out like... The cable boxes, you used to be able to, like, we didn't have Playboy and we didn't have Cinemax.
Right.
But what you could do is you could go, like, let's say Cinemax was 14 and Playboy was 15.
Right.
You could go to channel 16 and turn the dial all the way to the left and then, like, kind of fuck with your TV a little bit.
And get the cloudy image.
Sometimes you'd get sound.
Right.
Which was just a huge bonus. But when you were like, 15 years old, you didn't need sound.
No.
I was like, I cannot believe these two girls are doing this to each other.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
Like, this is what happens? This is real?
Yeah, this is great. Right. I got to move to California. you're sitting there actually reading the credits. Where did they film this?
This is
moving to California.
This is impeccable work. Oh, my gosh.
So
nowadays, it's like, if they're not shitting on each other, I'm done.
Nowadays, I got to have sound. If I go in to jerk off into a cup and... in the fertility clinic to make sure that my boys are still swimming, the DVD player there doesn't have sound. I'm like, I can't do this without
this
sound. Yeah, that's hot. That is really hot right there. Yep, suck on her toes, suck on her toes, all of them. Oh, my God, the whole foot. But I still need the sound.
Right.
I need the sound. And even if it's like a sound effect that's added in, like to...
It needs to be real.
It is. I need that sound. So I just go in with like these big headphones. plop them right down on the desk.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm mixing my new song.
It actually helps with like the nerves a little bit when you come in there and you look at everyone. Attention, everybody. Everybody knows why I'm here. And you set these big headphones down.
Right.
And then you go in. But yeah, this is oh, so anyway, this is why I know Short Circuit.
Oh, yeah.
Is because then I was a smart kid. I was in advanced math and science, AT shit, all this stuff.
Nice.
I had to build bridges out of toothpicks and glue and see how many books it could hold.
Right.
All right. Mine did not do well. But
okay. A good try, though.
But anyway, yeah, so I was a smart kid. So then I figured out, okay, the VCR's hooked up to this. Why don't I just tape this? So at the end of Short Circuit, I like waited for like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, fast forwarded, because at that point, like, unless my dad falls asleep while he's watching Short Circuit, but
nice.
He's not a fucking nerd. He's not going to watch Short Circuit. Only the kids are watching Short Circuit.
Right.
And by the time it gets to the credits, we're not watching anyway. So I let it go like 3 minutes, and then that's where I recorded all the Playboy shit. So I would have to actually go back. I think my parents still have these tapes.
Awesome.
Either that or I might have taken it.
Okay.
Just like as I got older, it was like, I don't want them finding
this
now.
That was your first boner material.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was it. No sound. Scrambled Playboy and right. Cinemax.
You can't see the faces, but you can see the nipples.
No. It was clear.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you'd have to like kind of screw with your TV a little bit as well.
Oh, okay.
It was something. There were like four different modes, like HRC, IRC, standard,
right,
and like whatever. And I think it was like always the HRC, and the knob had to be turned all the way over to the left.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're listening at home, Mom, don't watch Short Circuit tonight. Don't watch Short Circuit.
Honey, maybe we should give this a shot. They talked about it the whole show.
And speaking of Short Circuit, let's move on here in the hot mess. Tony Richardson might have CTE already.
Do you
know who Tony Richardson is?
Yeah, he can't spell Jets, right? That's the guy.
That's a four-letter word, all right?
It's the chant. It's the same chant that he heard 100 times a game, 8 games a year, for how many fucking years?
Well, he was on the Chiefs for a while. You know, I think he played like 16 seasons. It was crazy.
Yeah, okay, but he's
he only played 1 year in high school in Alabama, and it was a 3-year starter at Auburn, and then became one of the greatest fullbacks in NFL history.
Right.
But obviously, when you're a fullback, you're taking a beating. You're taking a pounding.
Yeah, your job is to block.
You're taking on linebackers that are like running as hard as they can in to stuff the hole.
Right.
And you're meeting that linebacker and creating just a little bit of separation for guys like Thomas Jones and whoever was running for Kansas City behind him.
Right.
So he gets up there. And again, this is now round 3 of the NFL draft. Round 3, so they're at Tony Richardson, and he gets up there. Here's what he had to say when it came time to make the pick for the New York Jets, 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 Jets.
J-E-T-E-G-G-G. Oh, my God.
So that's unbelievable. So here's, you know that he knows how to spell Jets.
Right.
Dexter Manley, not so sure. Dexter Manley was the Washington Redskins defensive lineman,
right,
who I remember laughing as like an 8-year-old kid with my dad because I saw a grown man crying on TV saying, I never learned to read. And I remember looking at my dad going, Dexter Manley can't read. And that's when I knew I wanted to be a comedian.
Right.
I'm like, I want to make fun of this guy even more.
Right.
So Dexter Manley, no doubt, is somewhere right now popping open a bottle of champagne saying, I'm not the only grown man who struggles with four-letter words.
Right.
But here's the crazy thing. Like, other than perhaps the J in Jets, It's plural, so shouldn't the S be the easiest letter to get there?
Yeah.
I could see,
well,
like,
also,
maybe if you thought that Jets was spelled with 2 T's, if he said J-E-T-T-S, like, I could kind of get that, because Joan Jett was J-E-T-T.
You know, okay, so here's the thing. He actually, because it's J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 he spelled it J-E-T-E-G-G-G. He didn't even know the chant.
Wow.
I don't think he knew the chant. He probably just thought that it was, for some reason, there's just 4 G's here for no reason. Who are the owners? Is there like an explanation for like who owned the team? Because is it always the Johnson family?
Probably. I think for as long as I can remember, it was the Johnson.
Now, is that Johnson & Johnson? Is that the same empire?
Or no?
I don't know.
Just
the same?
That'd be a great story, though.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're terrible at football, but they all have excellent skin because of Johnson & Johnson's baby oil.
Well, finish your thought. I'll look it up.
He either head injuries or he just never learned the chant. Also, did he play for the Jets?
Woody Johnson, he is the great-grandson of Robert Wood Johnson, co-founder of Johnson & Johnson.
Okay. Well, okay. All right. So there is an episode of South Park that suggests that Vagisil might cause mental instability. So maybe.
Kate, hold on. Is this true? We've got my wife here and she's a nurse. Had you ever used Vagisil, number one? And two,
no.
Did it make you crazy? She never did. All right. Well,
so maybe the thing is that they were just, finding new ways to get high, and they found out that downing a couple bottles of Johnson & Johnson baby oil, which they all get for free as New York Jets players, they want to rub their skin, make it all nice, but there's a few drops left. Why not take a couple swigs, get a little high, and then suddenly it's J-E-T-E-G-G-G. Also, I hear that Johnson & Johnson's baby oil actually does wonders for your CTE.
Does it really?
Maybe it should be J-T-E-E-C-T-E. Like that, instead of G-G-G, he was trying to telegraph. It's like the guy that was blinking saying S-O-S, but he was like giving the Vietnam speech at the Hanoi Hilton in the North Vietnam. He's trying to tell the whole world J-E-T-E-C-T-E. He's trying to tell people that he has brain damage.
It is. It's some kind of code. Some kind of Illuminati shit that's going on there. So anyway, I feel bad for the guy because he's a really good dude. He won like the Man of the Year award, not for the NFL, but for the NFLPA.
Oh wow!
It's a different award that they hand out. It's
so he did a lot of good like charity work then in the community.
Right. Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was, but he was a 2011 award winner. It was It is the. We'll get this here. It is the 2011 Byron Whizzer White NFL Man of the Year Award.
Nice.
And he won it in 2011. So he's obviously a nice guy. And I'm guessing if like Daniel Tosh would give him like the redemption chance that he'd be able 10 times out of 10, at least 9 out of 10, but
right.
10 out of 10, I bet you he would be able to spell Jets correctly.
Right. Yeah, he'll be on some show here pretty soon. Maybe we should have him on the Daily Upper Decker.
That could be our first ever.
Yeah,
he'll be
our first guest.
Yeah, because I didn't go that hard on him because once you did some research on him, like you're like, all right, I knew that he was already like one of the best.
Yeah.
And then you find out that he's like doing so much in community. It's like,
if he was
all right,
like,
it's just a slip.
If he had like a Joe Mixon kind of a checker,
correct?
Pass,
oh yeah,
then, like, we'd be laying into him.
Oh, if it would have been Dexter Manley, I'd have been all over him again, just like I was back when I was 8 years old. But yeah. Then again, maybe he's from Alabama, so you never know.
Right?
He still might think he's right.
Wait, the sound. Those are four G's. Everyone knows that.
Jeet. I love it.
Everyone knows that.
Moving on here in a hot mess, last NFL draft story. I want to get your thoughts on this. So I was out there last week for the Road to Puppy Bowl draft
right.
for Animal Planet.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of like misconceptions about it that people are like, oh, this is where they're drafting the puppies for the for Puppy Bowl 14 already? No, that's not what happened. It was just a fun event. We had a couple players out there. Deion Dawkins from Temple was there, and then there were four different Eagles players, Michael Kendricks, Ron Brooks, a couple other guys.
Oh,
so it was a lot of fun.
I want to find out what they thought about Pearson. That'd be so cool to find
out.
Dude.
Well, you could probably look at Michael Kendricks on his Twitter page and see if he had anything to say about it. But they're all nice dudes. They came out. They had a lot of fun. We put out fun names for them.
Did anyone,
it was like Ronnie, lots of treats.
Did anyone
like
select Deshaun Doxson?
No. Deshaun Doxson was not one of the names. They did pass up on Toy Aikman, though.
Aikman. That's adorable.
But they did Eli Mutting. Eli Mutting was a fifth-round selection despite all the off-the-field distractions.
Oh,
but
so
you're definitely going to want to take a look at those paw prints and make
Chargers
sure that they're...
The Chargers didn't trade him away?
No.
At the last moment?
So it was a lot of fun, and I was there. I took off on like Wednesday night after we got done with the event, so I wasn't there for the actual part of the draft.
Uh-huh.
But it's Philadelphia. Like I actually, that city has grown on me. Because I used to stay in like some of the worst parts of Philly, and I'm like, what a hole.
Right.
Like, if you ever walk from downtown to Temple University,
yeah.
Good luck. Good luck if you're doing it at night.
Right.
It's going to be a hell of a ride for you. But There are great parts of that city. Like, there's a national park right inside of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It's like the Independence National Park or something.
Is that what the Liberty Bell is, right?
Right. It's, well, yeah, that's part of it, Liberty Bell, Independence Hall, but they have all, like, the Carpenter's Hall, and they have all the buildings still there. You can just walk into them. It's crazy. You can walk through these places at, like, 11 o'clock at night.
Nice.
And you're just, it's a great walk home. It's the whole Society Hill area of Philadelphia, and I really love the city now. And then, but you still hear so many bad things about Philly that it makes this headline just absolutely shocking.
Okay.
Zero arrests in Philadelphia during the NFL draft.
Really? The place that has drunk tanks in their stadiums?
Yes. Zero zero arrests at the NFL draft.
How is that not the premise to a sitcom? Like, it's like Night Court. It's like the cast from Night Court, but you're working at Citizens Bank Park.
I think you need to shut up right now because you don't want to give this away. Both of our listeners back in Wisconsin right now might be like walking away with, like, this is my ticket out of hell.
Oh my God.
Yeah, go grab yourself one.
All right. I'm just saying we should write
so
that.
I like this. Yeah. So it's just like it, but it's like the court that's on site at a sporting event. It'd be so easy to shoot too.
Yeah. No,
because most of it would like take place on site. So whatever the dungeon, whatever it was, because some of these places, like these dungeons, like some of the stories about these places were that it was something like they were almost like medieval.
Right.
Yeah, it was just like shackles and stuff on the walls that they would put you in.
Frankly, you know, most of the people who got arrested didn't know any better because they were blacked out drunk. So they didn't really have to maintain that kind of facilities. By the way, just on a side note, this is one of my favorite things that you talk about Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, South Park first came out, I know I already mentioned that once. It's one of my favorite shows. Before it became a TV show, it was just like a 5-minute short, like a 4 or 5 minute short, like a Christmas card.
I feel like they all are. The Simpsons, everything.
Right, yeah. It was just a short that they, you know, they got commissioned to do. And my dad managed to get one of the original copies.
Get out of here.
Yeah, before there was an internet, before like that was easily shareable, he managed to get a copy of it because he knew how much I loved the show.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, if you let the tape keep playing, it cut to footage of the Philadelphia Fanatic at a Phillies game catching a girl trying to give a guy head at the very top of the old Veterans Stadium.
The Philly Fanatic trying to give a guy a head.
No. The Philly Fanatic caught people, you know, trying to perform oral sex. So it was a lady underneath a blanket.
So it was ahead of its time.
Yeah, it was great. It was like one of those all-time great bloopers, and that's Matt and Trey for it, that they'll give you like a little bit of 5 minutes of comedy, and then they'll just find this brilliant. Because those guys call YouTube. Like, a lot of their jokes are like little callbacks to YouTube videos that if you don't know about what went viral like a few months ago, you're kind of behind the ball, and that's just brilliant. So one thing that I learned about Philadelphia sports are drunk tanks, and everyone's always trying to get blown at the old Veterans Stadium.
Well, at the new at Citizens Bank Park,
right
there, there was a dude a couple years ago, I don't remember this, the dude like he was just farting and swearing and whatever, just And that's foreshadowing for another story.
Nice.
Hashtag farting. That's coming up here in a little bit.
Cool.
There was a dude at the Phillies game, and he was sitting behind an undercover, like not undercover, but just off-duty officer, and he's there with his daughter, who's...
The officer's there with his daughter?
Yes.
Okay.
So he's not on duty. He's off-duty.
Right.
But he's there with his daughter, and this guy's cussing up a storm, and he's farting, belching, like whatever. So finally the dude turns around, and he's like, hey, man, can you knock it off? I'm here with my daughter. And the guy goes, okay. Sticks his fingers down his throat and intentionally pukes all over him. You don't remember this?
No.
And the guy, like, you know, he's puking. So the officer went fucking apeshit on him and beat the fucking snot out of him. I gotta show you the mugshot. I think all you have to do is just Google Phillies fan mugshot. And it's the first picture that pops up.
He's a pulp.
This was the after.
Oh, Jesus.
So like one eye shut.
Oh, my God. He got a baseball sewn onto his face.
Yeah, it's like Lexington Steel ejaculated into his right eye. Right there. It would be his left eye. That would be his left eye. But it's
knocked his eye out of the socket.
Yeah, but doesn't it, like, without that, honestly, like, without me telling you that story, you would look at that picture and you'd be like, That honestly looks like a Phillies fan who intentionally puked on a girl that was sitting in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, all you have to do at home is just Google Phillies fan mugshot, and you'll see the guy we're talking about.
Right. And by the way, it looks kind of like that's not even his the injury that he suffered. He just caught something while he was down in the drunk tank in the dungeon.
Yeah, right.
He rubbed his eye after touching the wall.
Yeah, like a mosquito landed on his eye or something like
that.
Right. That's crazy. Well, so anyway, so all those stories about Philly fans, the drunk tanks in the stadium, this guy intentionally puking. Yeah, booing Santa Claus, all that
stuff.
Cheering
Michael Irvin's broken neck.
Everything. So everything that's involved there, and zero arrests at the NFL draft. So, hey, kudos to Philadelphia.
Listen, yeah, you know, the cameras were on them. And they turned up.
17 arrests in Chicago last year. But that was for people protesting and blocking traffic.
Right.
So it was 17 arrests at the NFL draft, 35 murders on the south side of Chicago during that same time frame.
Right.
All right, moving on here in the hot mess. We were kind of talking about baseball, the guy puking on the on the girl in the at the Phillies game. One of the biggest stories this week in baseball is that Adam Jones – had some racial taunts.
Yeah,
that and then someone threw a bag of peanuts at him last night.
Jesus Christ.
And this isn't in Philadelphia. This is in Boston.
Which is not surprising. Boston's super racist. Everyone everyone kind of knows that. And
well, it's one of those things where he came out and today and he was like, hey, you know what? The fans are passionate here. He goes, I understand that, but that is still no excuse for whatever. He goes, there's no reason.
And Red Sox fans already have, like, a negative – there's like people just don't like Red Sox fans for one reason or another.
Well, I think they used to feel sorry for him.
Right.
And it was just like, oh, my God,
and
those
then
guys
won.
Have endured everything. And then they won. They won again. They won again. They won again. It's all right. All right.
Yeah. Now you're just dicks.
Yeah. Now you're just obnoxious, right? So it's like a lot of people were – it's like if you still talk to a Cubs fan
– right.
Cubs fans are still pretty humble people.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? Red Sox fans might have been the same way.
In 2005,
after 2004,
maybe,
they might have been like, okay.
Like, yeah, if this doesn't happen again, I'm fine. I can die.
Right.
And now that they've won a championship between all four sports almost every year.
Right.
It's a little like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, they completely forgot about like
what
happened between 1918
and 2004. And now between 2004 and 2017, they're just championships. They just shit gold.
Right.
All these guys.
So, yeah. So, I think it's to be serious, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's beyond embarrassing.
So, how, like, I heard the story, but I didn't see or hear any video or audio.
No, there's no video or audio. There's just, I didn't see any video of the bag of peanuts being thrown at him either.
But was it audible? Like, could you hear it on a television broadcast?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I looked for it.
Okay.
I didn't get it. But at the same time, my thought with this is, like, what can you do if you're sitting next to a guy? Like, you know how on an airplane, and I still feel this way now, that after 9/11, if some dude gets up and tries to get into that cockpit door,
right?
No chance.
Right.
Everybody's going after him, and they're going to beat
United
the shit out of him.
On that guy.
Yeah, they're going to open up one of the emergency exit room or exit row doors and throw him out somewhere over Utah.
Right.
And I think the same way in baseball or in football or anything, if you hear a guy chanting the N-word at one of the players, are you not allowed to just beat the shit out of him?
Right.
I honestly don't see going to court and losing that.
Right. Yeah, you were doing the right thing as far as everyone's concerned.
Right? Like, hey, there were kids around. I wanted to teach. It's a teachable moment
right
here.
Yeah, this is what happens when you spout racial slurs at in public places.
I wanted to make sure that if he was ever going to chant a racial slur again, he was going to do so with a stutter. That he would never be able to get it out again.
You'd think twice about it.
He
would physically think twice about it.
So anyway, he came to the plate today or tonight, and his first at bat, he got a standing ovation from the Red Sox crowd.
That's great.
But it's just I wanted to use this moment as a PSA to to stop being racist.
you're right. And side note, Manny Machado took 36 seconds to go around the bases on a home run. So, yeah, listen, you get what you deserve.
Well, so they threw at him again in the first inning.
Right.
So then he hit a home run.
Yeah.
And I'd do the same thing.
Yeah, he basically walked.
Correct.
And
keep going. There is no time limit on this.
Right.
It's better than the softball player. Did you see this?
No.
Like the 300-pound softball player, the girl softball player, who hit a home run to tie a game. It was like Ole Miss against Alabama or some
shit.
So a heated rivalry probably in women's softball. There are probably dozens of people at the game.
Right.
Let's not go to the World Series without Stillwell's toys. So she hits a home run to tie the game. And she comes home, and all these girls are waiting. Like it's a home run, but all the girls are waiting at home plate.
In college, they do that in baseball. In baseball too, like when you hit a home run, everyone gets out and meets
everyone comes out to the plate.
Yeah.
Well, one reason why I don't watch college baseball or love the real game, love Major League Baseball.
Right.
Can't stand college baseball.
Right.
So anyway, so she comes home. She jumps over home plate. She missed it, so they called her out. So she went back to the dugout, and then someone said, like, hey, you better go back and touch home plate because the catcher was just waiting for the ball. So she runs back, and the catcher just tags her, and they call her out. Even though she cleared the fence with the ball for the celebration, she jumped over home plate, and now it was no longer tied.
Bonehead move.
And I do believe they went on to lose the game.
Wow. What an idiot. I didn't even know that was the rule. I thought the ball's gone. That's it. The run's in the board.
Who gives a shit? It's gone.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's... In beer league softball, you don't have to run the bases anymore. It's great. You hit one over the fence, and you just like make a U-turn. Go right back.
Diabetes league softball here pretty soon.
Nah, it's great. Baseball's getting the same way. You no longer have to throw all four pitches for an intentional walk.
Listen, all right, whatever, purist. That's a fucking waste of time. I don't know what it is about baseball that's made it last 4 hours long, but it used to be a 2.5 hour game. Now it's a 4 fucking
hour
game.
Nah, it's still, it's below three. The average is below three now.
Great.
It's like 258.
Great, because it used to be below three without having to institute any of this shit.
But every now and then, you get Rick Ankiel trying to throw one of these intentional balls.
Right.
And he throws it past the catcher.
Right.
And the dude who's on second base is now on third base.
Right.
Or I remember B.J. Surhoff, greatest Brewers catcher of all time. B.J. Surhoff, one time they threw the ball too close, and he hit it out of the park.
Right.
And that was just one of those moments. Now it happens 0.00001% of the time.
Right.
So I understand why it is that way now.
Statistically, it's not as much of a factor. But also, is there anyone like Nomar Garciaparra where like they have to do their stupid fixing of the gloves and fixing of the bat?
Ryan Braun.
Getting out. Dude.
You can't do it anymore.
No, and also, I mean, if it's Ryan Braun, fuck that guy.
Yeah, right. And this is Jew on Jew hate mail right here.
Yeah, well, listen, when Jews cheat, I know I spent, 20 minutes shitting on Nevin Shapiro to start the day talking to your lovely wife. Listen, Jews got to check Jews, man. That's how it works. That's how the ADL doesn't get involved.
Hashtag Jew check.
Yeah, you can't accuse me of anti-Semitism.
Thank you for that.
Hey, you're welcome.
Dude, dynamite dropping.
Thank you.
Moving on here in a hot mess, the Chicago Cubs World Series trophy was damaged at a concert. Did you see this?
No.
So Theo Epstein was up on stage playing guitar at a concert, and they're playing, I think it was Keep on Rockin' in the Free World. Let's see. At the Hot Stove Cool Music Benefit Concert hosted by Epstein's Foundation last weekend, two of the trophies Epstein had a hand in winning, the Cubs from 2016, the Boston Red Sox trophy from 2004, made the rounds like crowd surfers. So they put them out in the crowd while they're playing. These trophies are going around.
Let that happen.
Theo Epstein. At this point, Theo Epstein can do no wrong.
Right. Except damage his championship trophies. That's the one thing that he can do wrong.
Yeah, some of the flags on the Cubs trophy were dinged up, so it had to be repaired.
No. Okay.
Not the Red Sox one. The Red Sox one was fine.
It just, you know, spouted a few racial slurs at the one person of color in the crowd.
That's why you can't have nice shit.
Right.
You can't. You can't have nice shit. You get a chance, and right away you just grabbing
also,
flags.
Like,
because you know that there was an asshole out in the crowd who was like, no one's going to notice if I rip a flag off. And I'll always be able to say that I grabbed the flag.
It's a World Series flag.
Right. not to mention it's made out of, what, gold?
Right.
So good luck breaking gold in half, asshole.
Those are, like, legitimate. Those trophies. Yeah, those trophies could put a couple, like, hungry kids through college.
A couple. You could buy the Sudan. The Congo. Put them all together. You could buy, buy the entire country. So that happened. Also in baseball, this is what's going down right now. And I love this. So there was a dude, he was a plumber, and the plumber died. And I guess he was like a funny dude, like a just one, a regular Joe, like not necessarily the life of the party, but just always had a funny thing to say.
Was he? Did he work for a team?
No, he was just a plumber, but he was a Mets fan.
Okay.
In
the community, maybe in Queens, everyone just knew him and loved him.
Or just like his family.
Sure.
His
okay.
family loved him. He's a good guy.
He's a Mario.
Roy Regal was his name.
Okay.
So Roy Regal. So his friend.
Great name.
His friend, Tom McDonald, has been going around to different stadiums.
Uh-huh.
So he died in 2008, I believe.
Okay.
And honestly, I hope someone does this for me. And I'm not even a plumber. I've just spent plenty of time on the shitter. That I probably have more experience with shitters than Roy Regal
up.
Did.
I keep plumbers employed with how much I've backed them up.
Dude, I one time plugged the toilet in this apartment that I was living with my good buddy Tommy.
Right.
So I plugged the toilet. He doesn't have a plunger.
Oh,
I'm like, what? All right. So I went up to Walmart.
Heathen.
A local Walmart. And, you know, all I did is I went to the – you want to talk about, like, an embarrassing stop?
Right.
You just go to Walmart, you find a plunger, and you bring just that up to the cash
right.
register. This is before self-checkout.
And so, you have to tell them what you did.
Yeah, so you bring that up, and that's it. And she grabs it, and she scans it. She's like, expecting trouble today? And I'm like, yeah, we got a party. 20 guys are coming over. And she's like, don't worry, honey. It happens to everybody. I'm like, how much is it? Get me the fuck out of here. So we go back, and I'm hammering away on this thing. I mean, like, I'm a right. plumber at this point. Right. Like, this thing is coming out. And whatever, still will not.
Really?
It's just, like, plugging. I'm like, Tommy, I don't know what to tell you, but this thing is just plugged.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Not doing it.
And I had like, notorious plugins of toilets before. Like, right. I went up to their place in Oshkosh, but, like, it's a college house, University of Wisconsin Oshkosh College House.
Right.
That my buddy, God bless him, Mark. It was plugged so bad that he was like working on it, and the toilet started overflowing with shit all over the floor. So
happened,
he had to like clean up like my shit while I was outside drinking.
Were you just saying, "Bagosh,
bagosh,
bagosh,
bagosh"? You might want to think about getting a new toilet here, fellas.
Bagosh, bagosh,
bagosh. So, and then there was another time at my good buddy Tommy's parents' house where I plugged the toilet and. His dad came down and said, all right, we fixed it, but you might want to start eating a couple more potatoes. So I've had my fair share of embarrassments
right.
with toilets, right?
Right.
So now this one, they had to call in an actual plumber to come in. So the dude is like working on it, and he pulls a sock out of the toilet.
So it wasn't even your fault.
No. So somewhere there was a sock. Now it's an apartment complex. So somewhere along the way,
yep.
the socks are coming down. So my buddies all accuse me of jerking off into a sock and then trying to flush it down the toilet.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm like, guys, that was not me. I literally went in. I'm in there for 10 minutes to take a shit.
Right.
And that's it. And it just so happened to be that.
If you went in there to jerk off, it would have taken 30 seconds. Like, this is right. totally different.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're that pent up or that horny that you need to go into a bathroom at a dude's apartment and jerk off in a sock and then flush it down the toilet, you're right.
Yeah.
Minute tops.
Yeah.
So I'm here for 10 minutes doing my business and was just at that weird moment that a sock from another toilet that some asshole somehow decided to flush got down his toilet and then got clogged up
right.
in our pipes. And it was at that moment that I decided to become a comedian. Not the Dexter Manley story.
That was the second catalyst. But the first one was clearly the sock in the toilet.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. The sock in the toilet was like I was in California a year later. So anyway, I have experience with toilets. So I want this tribute. So this guy's been going around. Tom McDonald's been taking Roy Regal's ashes, and he takes like a spoonful, puts them in a toilet at a major league ballpark, and then flushes it. Roy Regal's ashes.
That's great.
So far he's done it at 16 stadiums. Let's see. He was also a music fan. So in Cleveland, McDonald flushed ashes at both Progressive Field and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Nice.
In Chicago, McDonald flushed them at a White Sox game, skipping Wrigley Field because the Cubs are longtime rivals of the Mets.
Okay. All right. If I was Roy, I still would have appreciated being flushed down the toilets of Wrigley Field. I'm just going to say that right now. I'd be like, come on. Like, I get it, but fuck your rivalry. Put my ashes down the toilet.
Yeah, I would want all 30 stadiums at
yeah.
this point.
Yeah, like, no, dude, all of them.
You've gone... No.
I would go. You complain about the college game, but I'd say send him to Omaha too. Save a scoop for the College World Series.
You're kind of close there. That he's got enough ashes for one more tribute. He's going to Durham Athletic Park in North Carolina, where the 1988 movie Bull Durham was filmed.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So close. That's kind of halfway on that.
Is Kevin Costner going to come help? Because he could use the work, you know? He had his small comeback with Superman. That's over.
Kevin Costner? Yeah, he's pretty much in line for work. We've got two more short stories here I briefly want to hit on before we finish our podcast here today. The duo of Adam Furberg and Tommy Gimler.
I can't believe how fast that went. That's
and
great.
It's been all NFL. That's how great this year's NFL draft was.
It was amazing.
You got the commish wiping boogers on crippled chicks.
Yeah.
And Drew Pearson. Oh, and the rest of it. It's great.
By the way, I just want to say I love that the Cowboys chose a defensive lineman and a defensive back from Michigan State. I'm blanking on their names. But I've seen more than one GIF or like little short video this week of that lineman almost getting to the quarterback, and then that quarterback forced to throw a pick to that defensive back.
Come on.
Yeah. And
I'm
super excited about it.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
You know who's not excited about it?
It's Taco. It's Taco from Michigan State.
Taco Charlton.
Yeah.
Taco Charlton.
And I'm forgetting the defensive back's name, but there are multiple clips of him that applying so much pressure that the QB ends up throwing the ball to that DB. And now they're both in the Cowboys.
So you know that's going to happen at least once, unless one of them gets arrested because they're playing for the Cowboys.
Right.
This happened on Dancing with the Stars this week.
I was like, well, pack your bags, D. Ross. You're headed home, buddy.
All right, so what he did is he flipped over. This is David Ross.
Yeah.
So he flipped over his partner, Lindsay.
My goal the rest of the way is to have as much fun as I possibly can.
Listen closely.
Surpass my expectations.
Did you hear that?
He farted on her.
No, that was her. So they're kind of doing like some dirty dancing, like weird shit. And he like pulls up her legs. This is David Ross, Grandpa Ross on the Cubs last year. Who is a terrible, go back and look at his stats, just a terrible fucking catcher.
But
it was just one of those guys, a personality that it goes a long way in baseball. He's a locker room guy. Everyone kind of rallied around
and especially
him.
Especially as a catcher, like all you need to do is control the personalities of the pitching staff. And if you can do that, you're a fucking quarterback.
And he was Lester's guy, too. Right. So he was huge to that team.
Right.
So he's now on Dancing with the Stars, and his partner, Lindsay, they're in rehearsal. And it's one of those things where she does a flip, and her legs are right here, so her crotch is like this close to his face.
And she
so the first time, yeah, the first time he does it, and he like kind of throws her over his back, and she like lands on the ground. And he's like, oh shit. So then she comes up, does it again, and boom, fart in the face. Now Barstool Sports is saying that she queefed.
Yeah, do we know if it's a fart or if it's a queef?
I don't know. Some people are calling it a fart. Other people are calling it a queef. Other people are calling it a queef. But I'll leave it up to you.
Okay.
What would be worse if this is happening? They're all laughed about it, right? So he laughed it off. But what would be worse if that was you in that situation where you're doing a scene where you're like, you know, you're now a porn star and you've got her flipped around and she's giving you head while you're standing up and she's right, her naughty parts are right in your face right now. What would be worse at that moment, the queef or the fart?
I would say the fart because, listen, if you're doing porn and she isn't queefing, you're clearly not doing your job.
Right.
Number one. You're not getting in there good enough if she ain't fucking queefing out something. Side note, one of my favorite games to play with my friends is to think of like famous people or movies or like books and replace certain consonants with queef. And my favorite one is Queef Queef Stofferson. That's my personal favorite.
Queef?
Queef Queef Stofferson instead of Chris Christofferson.
He was a songwriter, moved to L.A. to be an actor.
Yeah, and man, stinky breath. Queef Queef Stofferson. Anyway, queef? Go ahead.
Well, there was just that. That happened.
Okay.
So, yeah, I agree. I think I'd rather have the queef.
I'd rather have the queef.
Right, because you never know what's behind.
I'm not, quote a very good friend of mine, I guess to reference him, I am not Ryan Talmo. I don't put asses in my mouth. I do put one particular vagina in my mouth when, you know, the getting's good.
Right.
And so, I'm willing to take the queef to the face than the fart.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If you were at Stagecoach over the weekend and you end up eating somebody's ass.
you're fucking hero.
Yeah, you're a trooper.
Yeah.
You're a trooper. That is going the extra mile.
Yeah, she's proposing to you.
She better be.
Yeah, seriously.
And you might want to, see your physician sometime this week. I guess we'll find out whether or not it was a queef or whether or not it was a fart.
Yeah.
Based on whether or not David Ross Now, this is just rehearsal. Whether or not, if you're going to watch Dancing with the Stars this week, you look at his eyes. If David Ross says pink eye, then it was a fart. Print it.
Now, if his vision is as perfect as ever, even better than 2020 was a queef. Everyone knows that queefs are good for your vision. It's like eating carrots.
Queefs and carrots, and that's all the time we have here at the Daily Upper Decker. Queefs and carrots so you can see at night.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.